And with me now here is Kier Kolschken. He is from the OpenVZ project. What are you doing at OpenVZ?
I'm the project manager.
I'm
doing the programming.
So maybe for the listeners, what is OpenVZ?
It's a virtualization, not unlike the others, but technically on a different level. Basically, this is for Linux only, Linux on Linux virtualization, but very effective.
So what is the difference, for instance, to Xen and KVM?
Okay. What they do is they kind of provide you virtual hardware, and you run multiple, and you run any operating system on top of that virtual hardware. In case of Xen, it's a bit different because in the paravirtualized mode, Xen guest knows that it runs on that virtual hardware, so you can short some edges, make it a bit better, but overall, it's more like a virtual hardware. What we do is we partition your big Linux system into multiple smaller ones. Like there is a hardware, then the kernel, then the user space. And in our case, it's hardware and the kernel and multiple user spaces, which we call containers. So all of the containers are using and running on top of one single kernel. And therefore, it's a more lightweight approach. And there are some differences. All the differences from Xen, they come from that fact that we use that technology, single kernel technology. If someone is familiar with Solaris Zones or FreeBSD Jails, which is about the same thing.
So I have lesser overhead?
Two basic differences are there is no thick virtualization layer or emulation layer, so it's still the same Linux kernel, and therefore you have basically the very same performance. So no virtualization overhead. You don't have to pay the performance penalty for virtualization, unlike with Xen, for example. And the other difference is density is way higher because there are only one kernel, so the RAM usage is smaller, and you have, like, if you have 100 Xen domains, you can have 200 OpenVZ containers at the same hardware doing the same thing. So density is higher. You can have more out of your hardware.
But there is just this one kernel. So if I upgrade it, I upgrade all machines?
All the containers? They all use the very same one single kernel. Some people ask that, is this a single point of failure? Yes, this is a single point of failure. And there is always a single point of failure. In case of Xen, that would be the hypervisor itself. In case of KVM, that would be the hypervisor too. So in our case, we don't call it hypervisor, but our kernel is like that. So the idea is actually not new. It all started when Unix system added the chroot syscall, chroot. Then you can have your own file system. And in container, we are getting the idea to the maximum. Like you have your own file system, you have your own process tree, you have your own networking, you have your own whatever Linux is providing
and,
in a container.
And is this a standard kernel, or is it a kernel with patches?
It's our kernel, it's heavily patched for the added ability to isolate those containers from each other. And on top of that, we add some resource management mechanisms to keep the container within their limits. On top of that, we add some more fancy features. And yeah, it's heavily patched, but one of the goals of our project is to put that stuff into the mainline Linux. And this is what we do. And container consists of many building blocks, and some of those building blocks are already in the mainline. For example, we have recently submitted network namespace, basically the ability to have your own network domain with your own devices, routing tables, rules, and whatever else, the caches. So this is one of the building block of the container, to have your own network namespace. The other smaller building block is the process ID namespace, where you can have your own process IDs. So these are two building blocks which are already in the mainline, and something else, some smaller stuff is already there. But it's still a long, long way to go, so our patch set is quite big.
And when do you expect it to be all in the kernel, so I can just take any standard kernel to run OpenVZ?
You mean when we will be in the mainline? 100% of our code will be in the mainline? I doubt that 100% of our code.
Or at least, so that I can take any kernel that is out there and run OpenVZ containers on it. Shouldn't be 100%, but should work.
That's a long road, very long road. We have some features which are really hard to be accepted into the mainline, such as checkpointing mechanism when we freeze the container and dump its complete state to the file. Other people are also working on getting the container's functionality in the mainline. There is an LXC project from IBM, and there are some other people working on that, and they are also having problem being accepted into the mainline. But answering the question, it's still a few years away. It's a long, long road. It can't happen in 1 month or so.
Okay. In what distribution is OpenVZ integrated? Can I just take any, or?
Basically, you can take any, because what you do is, when you want to run OpenVZ, is you take your Linux system, then you install our kernel, you can compile it from source or take the binary packages from someplace. Then you reboot into our kernel, you install a few user-level tools, and you're all set. And it doesn't really matter what distro you're running. But we tend to support CentOS and Fedora and HAL more, because we provide pre-created RPMs and we provide YAML repositories for RPM-based distros. And actually, our stable kernel is based on HAL 5, Red Hat Enterprise Linux 5, and CentOS 5 kernel. So they are taking care of security drivers, bug fixes, and that kernel is pretty stable, rock solid, and this is what we need. So we use it as a base for our stable kernel. And therefore, probably one of the best systems would be to use CentOS 5. But we are also available in Debian, and we are working pretty close with Debian team. And we are available in Lenny, and we'll be available in the next release in Debian Squeeze. Also, Gentoo was one of the first distros in which OpenVZ is available natively, and we have very good maintainers for Gentoo OpenVZ packages. And but again, that doesn't really matter what distro are you running. And the same question applied to Guest. You can actually, this is the single kernel model, but you can run different distros in different containers. They just have to use our kernel, that's the only constraint, and they run pretty fine. I mean, we can run anything from, let's say, Red Hat Enterprise Linux 3, which is a very ancient distro, up to Ubuntu 10.04, which has just recently been released.
So if I am in one of these containers, is it possible to break out there to, I mean, it's the same kernel each time, so is it running 20 times and so on?
Just one single kernel.
So there should be some security issues or not?
From the theoretical standpoint, we do understand that this is a single point of failure, and we care a lot about that. And security usually comes from constant care. And we also limit the resources that can be used and abused from the container. Like, you can eat your kernel memory, you can eat some different in-kernel structures, you can abuse those so others will not get the resources. So we have very good resource management mechanism, which limits all the resources that can be abused. And from the practical standpoint, a lot of hosting service providers are using that technology, and they sell cheap virtual private servers, VPSs, to public. It prices starting from like 10 or 15 euros a month, and you can have root account, and you just can go buy such a VPS from any hosting service provider and try to break it. I mean, those hosting service provider, they would be out of business pretty soon if the system would be unstable and easily breakable. So it's not.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a commercial version on top of VZ?
I'm not here to talk about it, but yeah, we are sponsored by Parallels. It's a big company, and one of their product is called Parallels Containers. It's basically OpenVZ plus a lot of fancy GUI tools, web-based control panels, GUI control panels, clustering tools, and stuff like that. But the foundation of all that stuff is OpenVZ. Mm-hmm. And it's open, and it's new GPL licensed.
So, are there some guys working from Parallels at OpenVZ?
The kernel team is the same, because the kernel is 99% the same between OpenVZ and Parallels Containers. So what's the difference is they have added value in tools. So we have a kernel team at Parallels, and they are working on both things together at the same time, Parallels and Containers. So the OpenVZ is mostly kernel, so all the fancy stuff is in the kernel. So kernel team is Parallels team. Of course, we have contributors and active users, but their activity is mostly happening in the user space, because kernel is the complex. Mm-hmm. It's more complex than user space.
Okay. But what are you showing here at Linux Tech?
We have a small booth, and we have like two notebooks, and I like to show the live migration feature. We have a container running XVNCX server, and I can connect to it using VNC client. And I have the X window and a desktop inside that window, and I run the Pac-Man screensaver. And what I do is I live migrate that container from one notebook to another, and then back again. And it's really amazing to see how it happens. I mean, I've seen that 5 years ago, but it's still amazing to me how this thing could work. Like, you take the live container, the one which is running with the processes in it, and you freeze it, and you dump its complete state to a file on disk, then you move that file to a different box, and then you unfreeze, and the Pac-Man continues to run, and there is no out of service, no... So this looks like not a shutdown, but in fact it's not a shutdown, but like some network lag, a delay in network response. So we are migrating that container back and forth between two notebooks, and it's really fun to see.
Okay, and what happens if one machine crashes? Is there also live migrating?
There is a kernel and the user space, right? We have one kernel instance, multiple user space instances. If the user space crashes, that affects only that user space instance, that container. If the kernel crashes, that affects everything, everybody. I mean, this is the same as in case of hardware. If hardware crashes, everything goes bad.
But I can do such things with high availability, DRBD or something that, so that I have two machines doing the same thing, and if one crashes, they all boot up on another machine.
Yeah, there are guys here, the company is Thomas Crane. They had a booth next to us, and what they did a few years ago, they created a cluster consisting of two OpenVZ nodes, and they are running DRBD to keep the files in sync, to keep the disks in sync, and they have the heartbeat on a second machine, which checks the availability of the first machine. And if the first machine goes down, like you pull the power plug out of it, the second machine will fire the same container. It will keep running, keep serving requests. So yeah, this is possible to do high availability solution based on OpenVZ.
Okay, and since some years there is hardware virtualization in the processors, can you use that?
We actually don't need that. What this virtualization is like VT, VTD, and AMD, similar AMD technologies, they are all targeted for hypervisor-based solution, because when you run under the hypervisor, normal kernels, like if you run Windows inside the guest, inside as a Zen guest, it doesn't know that it runs under the hypervisor. It just thinks it talks to the real hardware, it talks to the real hard drive controller, talks to the network card. In fact, it's not. These calls are being intercepted and then routed into the real hardware, and it's a complex process, and it creates a lot of overhead. So these virtualization technologies are for hypervisor to cut some corners, to make that overhead less and less. And they are doing some progress in that area, and it really helps hypervisors such as Xen or VMware or KVM. And KVM actually relies on that features to be present on the box. But we are doing it on a very different level. We do it right inside our kernel. We don't need such hacks, such hardware hacks, in order to help. But these new technologies helping hardware virtualization, they are bringing it up to speed, so the speed of hypervisor-based solution are closer and closer to what we have, but they would never achieve the same speed as we do, because we basically have zero overhead. We don't do any tricks. It's just the same system. We just isolate user spaces from each other. You know, it's like when we had single user, single task operating system. Now we have multi-user, multi-task operating system. Now with OpenVZ you have multi-container or multi-user space operating system. This is about the same concept. So very different from hypervisors.
Okay. There's really difference between these hypervisor concepts and yours. What will be the next feature in the next version? Are there anything particular?
Yeah, we're working on some fancy features. Like recently we have added ability to run kernel space NFS daemon inside container, because kernel space NFS daemon, it requires kernel threads, and it was not possible before in container because of some security concerns. So we took that problem and we re-implemented that kernel stuff to be available to have the kernel NFS server inside the container. Because if you use user space NFS daemon, it's a bit slower, but that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is it cannot work with file locks. Only kernel space NFS server can work fine with file locks. So now it's possible with OpenVZ to run kernel KNFSD inside the container. What we are also working on, it's quite a big feature. It's been in development for quite a long time. I hope we will release it this year. It is a new resource management model. What we currently have is a set of resources, like 20 resources, like memory-related resources, like kernel memory size, which we count and control and limit per container. Then some other things like that, different various network buffers, and everything else we have to control in order for one container to not step on each other, to keep the container within the limits, to prevent the denial of service attacks. So what we will have in that next version is simpler RAM plus swap memory management model. So for each container, you can say, you'll be able to say, I want that amount of RAM and that amount of swap per container. And all the other parameters which we have now will become secondary.
Dynamically?
Yeah,
also?
Yeah. It is done now, and it is done dynamically, but we don't limit the physical RAM, let's say, directly. We limit that somehow in not a very direct manner. We will limit that directly, and we'll limit swap directly. That means user will have to configure less parameters, and it's more understandable that everybody understands what is RAM and what is swap. And as it comes for swap, we employ a really interesting technology there. Like, if you configure your container to have, let's say, 100 megs of RAM and 200 megs of swap, if the RAM is close to, RAM usage is close to the limit, something will go into swap. But it doesn't go into the real swap. We have a virtual swap device, which is just, you know, which just stays in memory, but the container will be artificially delayed for that swap. So it feels like it's a real swap, but in fact it's not, because we don't want to do unnecessary I/O on the disk. And when, if we have the global memory shortage, that virtual swap will become real swap. And that means if the container is using more memory than it should, it will be penalized by limiting its CPU consumption by using that virtual swap. And that actually helps container to stay within the borders, to stay within limits that are set. And this will be available in the future of the music kernel.
Okay, and any other feature in the new version?
This, I guess, would be the most
yeah, significant.
Just a killer feature, because now we have 20 parameters to configure. That's, I guess, this is the most obstacle for the current OpenVZ users. They just have to learn this a bit. Just have to learn what all the parameters means, what are interdependencies between them, how to configure them in the right way. So it's a big step down from 20 parameters down to 2 parameters. 2 parameters are way easier to configure. I'm not saying that the current scheme is not working. It's just a bit less convenient for the user. You have to fiddle with those numbers and so on.
And for beginners, it's much easier. They just have to...
We provide some tools to cope with those parameters. Like, there is a VZ split tools which we can use. You can say, I want 5 containers on this hardware, on this piece of hardware. And the tool will create the config which is good for running 5 containers on this hardware. And we have lots of other tools like VZ memcheck, which checks memory constraints and tells you if you are overselling your system, like if you're giving away more RAM than you have, and it gives you recommendations and so on. But it all requires some learning. So what we need to do is we have to make it easier for users, and that is what we are doing, that RAM plus swap thing.
Okay. Thank you very much for being here at our booth. Kier Kolishkan, he project manager from OpenVZ. It's a virtualization technology which does some quite cool things and a little bit other than the well-known hardware virtualization stuff, hypervisor things. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.